You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you not just save a marriage, but create a marriage that you would treasure for the rest of your life. I'm not here just to stop a legal process or stop a spouse that doesn't want to be with you. I want to create relationships that are going to stand the test of time, that are going to be a model for generations to come. And today, I want to talk about an interesting little quote that came just a couple of days ago. I was with Gary Chapman. If you don't know Gary Chapman, you need to know who he is. He is the author of the book, The Five Love Languages, and you're going to hear an interview I did with him in the coming weeks. But we spent some time together, and one of the quotes that I love from Gary is this. He says, "I am amazed with how many people ruin today with yesterday." I am amazed with how many people ruin today with yesterday. In other words, how many people are stuck in the past and who are constantly referencing why things can't be different, why things can't be better, why things are the way they are because of the way they've been. Now, it's kind of interesting because we humans are a creature capable of reflecting on what has happened and changing our direction. We don't know if that's really true in the animal kingdom because animals don't have the capacity of using language to think that through. But we humans do have a clear capacity of looking at what's happened and saying, I don't like the way it's been. I don't want it to be this way, and I can do it differently. The interesting thing is we all know that, and yet we don't allow that room for other people. We want to stay stuck in the past and say, you're not going to change. You're not going to be any different. This can't work out. And I hear it over and over and over in marriage crises where one spouse is saying, you know, you're not going to change. I know that you're going to try to fool me. I know you're going to try to be different, but it's just going to be back to the same old stuff. Now, the interesting thing is it's not about whether the person can change, but whether the relationship can change. And so the missed point of that is that sometimes when a spouse refuses to move forward, they also create a stuckness in the relationship that has nothing to do with the stuckness of one person, but is about the stuckness of the relationship itself. So why do we get stuck in the past? What keeps us there? Well, it seems to me that there really are four things that keep us really rooted in the past. None of them particularly helpful. The first one is fear. Fear keeps us stuck in the past because if we believe that whole fear message in our brain, then we think that if we just avoid the things that hurt us, if we stay away from the things that scare us, we'll be okay. And so we use what makes us fearful as a reference of where not to go. And so the past can be used as a representation of, don't you see how it's been? I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be stuck in that. Here's the interesting thing about fear. When we use fear to keep us stuck in the past, we stay stuck in fear, not in the past, but in fear, and we actually stay exactly in the same spot that we don't want to be. So if someone says, you know, I fear that this relationship is going to go right back to where it is, it's going to go back to where it is because we can't find a different way out. We let our fears rule us. Now, let me be clear here. I don't believe that we humans are capable of getting rid of fear completely. But I think we can choose whether we're going to be acting out of fear or just having fearful thoughts and deciding to act differently. So what I'm talking about here of being stuck in the past is in when we allow the fear to rule our actions, to rule how we're going to respond, not just that it's there. The fear is kind of an inevitable part of human behavior and human feelings. It is a self-protective mechanism. And even those daredevils you see doing crazy stuff, it's not that they don't fear. They've just learned how to continue to move forward in spite of that fear. But fear can keep us rooted in the past, stuck there. Another one is blame. How does blame keep us stuck in the past? Because when we are blaming something else, we can always reference why we're blaming it. You know, if we got rid of all of the thoughts about why something happened in the past, we would have to actually take action and take responsibility. We would have to change something about ourselves. But instead, when we stay stuck in blame, we keep referencing those places and say, oh no, you remember when you did that? See, I'm never going to let that go. I'm never going to move forward with this. And so blame is a way of staying in the past. And it's also a reason to stay in the past. If we want to blame, we can always find a place to focus. We can always find some reference point back there that's going to help us remember that that's why this happened. Or how about avoidance? We don't want to take action. We don't want to have to try. And so instead of facing that, we just claim those past things and say, see, that happened in the past. And so nothing can be different. And that's a way of avoiding trying to step forward. It's a way of avoiding reality, and it's a way of avoiding pain. But what it does is it leads us to the exact same thing. The one thing that happens when we reference the past is it keeps us stuck. It keeps us unable to move forward in time. Now, think back on Gary's statement. He's amazed by how many people ruin today with yesterday. They're not living in today. They're not living in the time frame of the present. They're not even looking towards the future. Instead, they're constantly referencing the past. And so a spouse might be completely different, and they say, yeah, but you wait. You'll change back. You won't be able to keep doing this because you're just trying to fool me. Well, here's a reality check for all of us. Every single one of us has shortfallings and misses. Every one of us. And every day and every moment, we get a fresh start unless we tie ourselves to the failings and shortfallings of the past. Every one of us has that, and we seem to forget that. When we're in a marriage crisis, we like to point out a spouse's shortfallings. And it doesn't matter whether you're the one trying to save a marriage or you have a spouse trying to save the marriage. We all do this. We all look for the shortfallings of the other person, of where they've missed it, where they've fallen short. And we seem to forget that we are a part of that too, that we have our own shortfallings. Now, when I say that, people go, I know that. I recognize that I have shortfallings too, but they don't live as if they do. People live as if the blame belongs to the other person. Sure, I make mistakes, but my mistakes aren't the bad ones. My spouse's mistakes are the ones that lead us to where we are now. Every one of us has shortfallings and misses. And yet every day, every moment, we get a fresh start unless we tie ourselves to the past. And if you're trying to save your marriage, recognize that your efforts yesterday, you have a new chance today. Whatever happened with them, whether they were helpful or harmful, you have a new start today. So instead of saying, you know, I'm not going to work on this connection thing because it didn't work yesterday, to say, how do I need to work on this connection thing? How do I need to move forward with this connection? How do I need to find a new start that happens in this moment, not in yesterday's moment, not in the failings that happened before, but how do I use that data back there, those failings, those shortfallings or successes, to begin to fine-tune my aim for today and fine-tune my plan for tomorrow? When we use the data from the past as a way of understanding how we want to do things differently, then the past is full of information and full of help. When we use the past as a way of staying trapped, of staying stuck, of not being able to move forward, then we have misused that information. We have only used that to keep us stuck, to keep us unable to move forward. I can't tell you how many times I've had someone say to me, I would love to save my marriage, but you have no idea how much has happened. If you did, you would see there is nothing we could do. That's almost a verbatim quote I've heard over and over. People would say, you know, I would love it if our marriage would work out. And I would go, great, let's work on it. Oh, you don't know what's already happened. Because if you knew that, you would see that we couldn't. And that whole idea of they would love for the marriage to work out if it weren't for the past is a misunderstanding of what that past is about. That past is past. It's over. It's a new start, a new chance, a new way of moving forward in a relationship where you made a commitment to do just that. I mean, that's the unique thing about marriage, is it's a relationship where we promise that we're going to keep on trying through thick and thin, through those good days and bad days. We'll keep on trying to make this better. That's the commitment we make in a marriage. And so the fresh start is a new day to say, where did I fall short? How did I miss the mark? How can I move forward and make that relationship something that's going to be greater than it's been? We all love fresh starts. I was talking with my daughter who's in college, and she was saying, you know, it's getting down to the wire, Dad. All this stuff is coming due, and all the professors have the same schedule. You know, they all say, oh, go ahead and get started on the paper so that you're ahead of the game, not realizing that you have three other classes that are saying get started on the paper or have something that's due. And she said, you know, all I can do is keep up with what's critically due right now. And I told her that one of my favorite things about college and graduate school was that it was a semester. You know, that no matter how bad it got, I got to the end and it was done. I could take the final exam and move forward. The same thing happens in new stages in life. You know, when we graduate from high school, it's a fresh start. It's a chance to redefine ourselves. When we graduate from college, it's a fresh start. It's a chance to redefine ourselves. When we change jobs, when we, you know, move to a new city, all those things have new chances of life. But here's the little secret. That change can happen anytime, any moment, any day, that we always can say, fresh start. Sure, you'll have some things that'll have to be done. You know, you'll have some projects that still have to carry over. But the emotional toll of the past can end today if you choose to. Or you can drag the past in because of your fear, your blame, your avoidance, your place of justifying the being stuck. Fresh starts can happen every moment. Last week on the Thriveology podcast, I interviewed a friend of mine, Sean Ellis. And Sean and I were talking about the fact that every single moment matters and every single moment passes to give us a new moment. And we reflected on the fact that that's the nature of life, that we always have a fresh start unless we keep stuck in what's already happened, in what can't be changed, in what can't be altered, in what can't be undone. We trade our present moment and we trade all our future moments on what's already happened when there's nothing we can do about it. You know, people always say to me, I wish that hadn't happened, or why did that happen? And what we're always doing is trying to reference a place where it could have not happened. When I was a chaplain for years, I would hear that in the emergency room, that there had been a tragedy, and people would say, why did this have to happen? And they weren't really asking me for a reason. They were trying to find a way to undo it, to have it not happen. And we all have that place. We all have the place where we wish we could go back and do it again, or wish that somebody else would go back and do it again, or wish that we could have somehow avoided some situation in the past. The past is past. The moment that counts is right now, this instant. What are you going to do with this moment? So let's talk about some ways that you can change where you are right now. I want to name four practices that can help you make the switch right now, and it doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. So if you're sitting there going, well, if my spouse would get on board, or well, if my kids would clear up, or well, if my boss would get nicer, or you know, well, if my job panned out, all of these things are things that you can do, and you can do them very easily and quickly. So let's go through these four practices. The first one is to practice gratitude. No matter what's going on, you can always find things to be thankful for, and no matter where you are. You know, even to be able to say, wow, I'm so thankful I woke up today. I got up and had a fresh breath. We had a member of our church that would every Sunday, his prayer request was to say, thank God for getting me up today. And for a lot of reasons, that's as good as it got for him. He was a recovering addict, and he lived in the midst of poverty. And, you know, he had health issues and family issues and relationship issues. But every single Sunday, he would start with, thank you, God, for getting me up. So at a base level, we all have some place to practice gratitude. The challenge is to keep finding those places of gratitude, to sit down each day and say, what are three things for which I'm thankful? And let me just kind of say that that is a practice of gratitude, to say, what three things am I thankful for, and to make them something different. I've talked about this in depth before, but I just want to kind of tag it again, because sometimes people get out of the habit, and that habit can do incredible things. So to be able to say, you know, what are the three things that I'm thankful for? Just what are the three things? And each day come up with another three. It begins to have you looking for the things that in this moment you're grateful. So the first one is practice gratitude. The second one is practice humility. So how do you practice humility? By recognizing what I said earlier on. Every one of us has shortfallings and misses. And when we practice humility, what we end up doing is not seeing ourselves as above our spouse's actions, our friend's actions, our boss's actions, our coworker's actions, our children's actions. We see ourselves as also having shortfallings. Maybe they're different, and that's one of those human nature things that we like to point to others as worse than ours. You know, we go, oh, sure, I did this, but it's not that bad. It's not as bad as doing this. And so we have kind of a stacking order of how we look at other people's shortfallings. The other thing that we look at our own shortfallings and say, well, there's a reason we did that. The other person's just got a character flaw or, you know, they're a bad person. Me, on the other hand, I did this for this reason. And instead of doing that, just to say, you know what? We all fall short. I have fallen short. I continue to fall short, and to practice humility is to admit that we all fall short, that none of us are better than somebody else, that we all are going to make mistakes along the way. And when we do that, the practice of humility is also giving some room to the people around us, is giving room for their mistakes. Instead of judgmental, when we are practicing humility, we also practice the next practice, which is forgiveness. Remember, when I talk about forgiveness, I always want to clarify for people that forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person that you're forgiving. Forgiveness is the place where you reclaim your capacity of moving forward without dragging stuff along. And so when we practice humility and say, I fall short, we can work on forgiving ourselves, but we can also work on forgiving others and saying, you know what, you fell short. That's just kind of human nature. That's the way we do things. And probably it wasn't meant to hurt me. I believe that more often than not, people do things for themselves, not against another person. And so when we practice forgiveness, we're focusing on the fact that we choose not to drag those events forward with us, to not keep pulling that along. I always think of those hurts that happen to us, the places where people hurt us, as kind of things that we stick into a big bag behind that we drag behind us. And when we're not forgiving, when we're not allowing that to move away from us, what we're doing is stuffing those in that bag and keeping them in the bag. We keep stuffing them back there, and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And over a lifetime, we have this bag that we're dragging around of slights that people have done to us, hurts that people have done to us, that we're carrying around, not them. They've gone on with life. You know, so often I hear people say, I'm not going to forgive that. And the other person's moved on. One analogy that kind of strikes me about forgiveness is this: it's as if somebody threw a sharp stone and it hit you and cut you and hurt you. And you pick up that sharp stone and you grasp it in your hand as tight as you can. And you're looking at that other person going, I'm not going to let go of this, as the stone cuts deeper and deeper into your hand while they are walking away merrily down the street, not even aware that there was damage done. So practicing forgiveness is choosing to let those pieces go, choosing to not hold on to them. If you find that you're having a difficult time with forgiveness, please do a search on SaveTheMarriageBlog.com and look for forgiveness. Just do a search for forgiveness, or go to Thriveology.com and do a search for forgiveness, and you're going to find several lessons on how you can forgive step by step. Okay, the fourth practice is to practice mindfulness. Mindfulness is just a commitment to be in this moment right now, not trying to play what's happened in the past. You know, we play those movies in our heads about what's already happened, or to try to play the movies about what we think is going to happen, but to be fully present right now, to be mindfully present with this moment, how you're feeling, what's going on around you, what your food tastes like, what the world feels like, what the air on your face feels like, what the sound you're hearing, what somebody is saying to you, including a spouse. Really keying in, really being fully aware of what's around you. And when you're practicing mindfulness, you're living in this present moment. You can't do mindfulness and reflect on the past or think about the future. Practicing mindfulness is the place where you stay rooted in the present. If you need some help with how to do that mindfulness, just go to the Thriveology website And you'll find that This Moment Matters. That's the podcast I did with Sean, and This Moment Matters was all about this present moment and mindfulness and the power of that. So don't wait for a spouse or a boss or anyone else to join you in the present moment. Don't wait for anybody else to join you in this moment in time. They may be stuck in the past. Don't get caught up in that. Don't be waiting for them to join you out of the past. You'll be waiting a long time. You'll be stuck with them in the past. So don't try to force people out of the past. They will only hold on harder. The more you try to pull someone into the present, the more they will cling to the past. So what do? You apologize for your role in where they're stuck in the past. You show them how you're changing, how things are different in this present moment. Don't tell them. Don't proclaim to them how you're going to be different. Don't blame them for why you're the way you are. Simply become the person you want to be. Show them the difference. Act out that difference. Who you want to be different, be that every single day. Become who you want to be. You only have the power to change your attitude and your actions. Claim that power and join in the present moment. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.